Tonight's share is sponsored by Reb Lebo Goldberg, Siskel and Mitzvah. Go ahead. Hopefully it works if it's too loud.
Guten Tag, everybody. Shalom Aleichem. For a full year of not seeing each other. Bruchim Aboim. Baruch Hashem B'li Ayin Hara. I think this is the 10th year that we've been getting together. Moitzoy Shabbos. To learn the Chabura. Minyanim of the Nevi'im. This week's parasha. Towards the end of the parasha, after the Mabul, it says, Vayochel Noyach Isho Adoma. Noach, man of the earth, he defiled himself, he debased himself. What was his big avlo? What did he do wrong? The first thing that he planted was a vineyard. Instead of planting the basics, planting wheat, or something more basic, he planted a vineyard. Why is that such a terrible thing, the Mefarshim ask? Think of worse things, that by Yochel Noach, he debased himself by planting a vineyard. So one of the Mefarshim says, that Noach in the Teva was on the highest level of Kedusha imaginable. He was holding up the entire Bria for the future of the world. He was sustaining mankind for generations and generations. He was sustaining every species of animal, plant. The entire Bria rested on the shoulders of Noach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, was with him. He was face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for an entire year. And a tremendous yachid d'shmaya. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Teva was the bechina of Shabbos Kodesh. The word Noach has in it the word Menucha. And the bechina of the Teva was one of tremendous Kedusha. And if that was the case, where he was together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in recreating the Bria, and it was on the highest madrega of Kedusha Shaya, to leave the Teva and then to go down a level to plant something which is not a basic, that was a lowering of Kedusha. In other words, when you're going back down to daily life, eventually you could plant that vineyard. But don't make a crash landing from the highest madrega of Kedusha down to a more gashmiistic thing. You have to take it gradually. Chazal tell us, Chasidim harishayim, hayushayim shoa achas lepnei hatvila, v'shoa achas la'achar hatvila. The Chasidim harishayim would take out an hour before davening to think about davening, to get themselves into the spirit of davening. And then after davening, they would also wait for an hour. What was the meaning of waiting an hour after the davening? The middle of the hour before the davening, I could understand, to prepare yourself for tefillah. But the hour after the davening, what was the purpose of that? The answer is that when a plane is high up, or a spaceship zikr, when it's high up, it has to land gradually. It can't make a crash landing. That's why it is dangerous. The Igra Rama, the Bira Amikta, you have to land gradually. After they reach the highest level of Zekes Bashem, Mamash face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and right away to finish davening and to leave, that was a crash landing into Inyonim of Chulin. The Hasidim of Rishayim didn't do that. They waited an hour afterwards to be able to make a gradual landing. This was the Taina on Noach. Noach, when you're making that landing, it should have been gradual. It shouldn't have been, it should not have been straight into the Yayin. And the Pasuk Taka says, Vayita Kerem, Vayeshman Ayayin, Vayishkar, Vayizgal. It all starts with Vav Yud. Vay, 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 Vay. When you do that, when you take that crash landing and you don't land gradually, and you don't allow the Kedusha to sink in, it's Vay, 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 Vay. We're just coming out of a tremendous, tremendous zman of Kedusha. An Elul, there's the 30 days of Elul, there's the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. After the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, you have 4 days to prepare for Sukkot, and then you have Mamash, the zman of Sukkot, you're talking about 52 days of Kedusha. And now we start the winter, so we have to realize we're coming out of a Teva of Kedusha. We're coming out of a concentration of being face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our landing into the winter has to be gradual. And that's set for the beginning of the year, but it's also set about Shabbos Kodesh. We finish a Shabbos. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. So unfortunately here in America, you know, people, the minute they leave Shabbos, they're right back into Chol again. They take that crisp landing, they're right back into Chol. Our Avodah, the Avodah, true Ovid Hashem, when he comes out of the Shabbos, when he comes out of that Me'ein Olam Haba, he lands gradually. He starts out the week, the Filavach, Meitzei Shabbos, he starts out with the Divrei Torah, he starts out with Kiddusha, a Chevra coming together to learn. There's no greater Kiddush Shem Shemayim than that, and there's no greater way than to cushion our landing away from the Me'ein Olam Haba to go into the week. That is the best way to go into the week. I just want to refresh our memories a little bit about where we were holding in Sefer Shmuel. The B'nai Yisrael, after being led by Shmuel Hanavi for many years, the B'nai Yisrael, they were choyte, and they asked for a king, when really they didn't need a king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was guiding them properly, and Shmuel Hanavi was guiding them properly with great success. And they asked for a king, Shaloi Kehagin. There are those that say that one of the reasons why there was a problem is because when they asked for a king, the real king was not yet ready to take over the mantle of leadership. Dovin HaMelech was not yet ready. He was in the world, but Men HaShemayim, they felt he was not yet ready to be that Melech. But Lamaisa, after Shaul was Chayte, in different ways, number one, he didn't stand up for his covenant when he was supposed to. Number two, the Navi told him to wait for him to come before he brings his korbanos and starts fighting against the enemy. And Shaul displayed a certain impatience. And last, the biggest one of the Averis was he did not fulfill the tzivui of Hashem to wipe out Amalek totally. Memela, he showed that he was not fit for the Malchus. He was not Mekayim Mechias Amalek. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Shmuel to go to the Mishpach of Yishai of Beis Lechem. And there he will anoint a new king. This is where we are up to right now. We are holding in Kapitel Tezayin, Pasuk Vav. Kapitel Tezayin in Shmuel Alev, Pasuk Vav. Vayihi b'voyon. It was when they came. When Shmuel Hanavi came into Yishai's house. Vayares Eliyav, he saw Eliyav. Vayomer, and he said, Ach neged Hashem Mashiach. Surely before Hashem is his anointed one. Simple pshat is, he thought that this surely must be the one that Hashem had in mind. Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, and Hashem said to Shmuel, Al tavet el mareyu, do not stare at his looks, the el gevoyah koymosai, do not look at how tall he is, his height, kima asihu, I have discarded him. Ki lo yasher yire ha'odam, it's not the way a person sees. Ki ha'odam yireh la'inayim. A man sees with his eyes. He only sees that which appears to him visually. V'Hashem yireh la'levav. Hashem is able to see deep down into the heart of a person. So it couldn't be Eliyahu. V'yikra Yishai al Avinadav. So now Yishai called his second son Avinadav. And he passed him before Shmuel. Hashem did not choose this one either. He brought his third son Shama. Hashem did not choose this one either. And Yishai passed all seven sons in front of Shmuel. Hashem did not choose any of these. Is this the end of all of your children? Are there no more young men? He said, the youngest one is still left over. Behold, he is pasturing the sheep. Send for him and take him. We will not move away from here till he comes here. And that, of course, we'll see was Dovin HaMelech. Let's go back to the Psukim and let's learn them al pi Chazal and al pi the Mepharshim. Again, Pasuk Vav, Vayihi b'voyon. When they came in, when the Navi came in with his Mishoreis, Vayares Eliyav, he saw Eliyav, Vayomer, Ach neged Hashem Mishichai, surely before Hashem is his anointed one. Rashi learns pshat, ach, it's true, this fellow is Roy from Malchus. Why did Shmuel think right away that Eliyahu was fit for Malchus? The Radak explains, first of all, the Radak says, not that he declared it outright, verbally, he couldn't, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded in the Pharisees that I will tell you who to anoint. So it can't be that Shmuel came and declared, oh, this is the king. He couldn't then. He was not yet instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do so. So the Radak says he said it in his heart. He said, Beliba, oh, this must be the Melech. Why did he say that? Number one, because he was a Bechor, and there was something special about the Bechorah. A Bechor has extra koiches. And number two, he saw he was tall, in stature, he was very good looking, and he was able to see that such a person would command respect. That's a mitzvah. It's the Teva and the Bria. When you have a tall, good looking person, he's able to command respect, and he looked like a person that people would be afraid of. He could instill fear into the nation. So this was his initial reaction. And when he said the words, Ach Neged Hashem Mishichai, the Radak says it was sort of like a tefillah, if only Hashem will be with his anointed one. This is the way the Radak was shot. So he looked, mamash tall in stature, and he looked imposing, and Shmuel felt that he would be the right one for the king. And he said a tefillah, Ach Neged Hashem Mishichai, if only Hashem will be with his anointed one. The Malvin learns the exact opposite. Lehepach. Shmuel was not impressed with the way he looked. Shmuel felt he wasn't really so tall, he wasn't really so imposing looking, and he felt that he would not be the right one. So when Shmuel said, Ach Neged Hashem Mishichai, he was still referring to Shaul HaMelech. He still had hopes. Maybe Hashem will change his mind and still anoint Shaul. Shaul was good looking, he was tall, Mishichma v'mayla gavoya mikola'am. So Mimele, Shmuel HaNavi still had those hopes. If only, the one that was already anointed, if only he could stay in front of Hashem. Vayayimar Hashem el Shmuel, Hashem said to Shmuel, Al tabet al mareyu vel gevoya kaimose. Do not look at his outer appearance and the height, kima astiu, I have discarded him. Ki lo yashe yira ha'odam, it's not the way a person sees. Person sees visually, there's a lot to say over here about this pasuk. The Radak, going with his shita, that Shmuel was impressed with Eliyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him he might look right, he might look tall, he might look handsome, he might look imposing, but don't look at his mareyu, don't look at the outer appearance, you have to look what's deep down inside. You're only able to see on the outside, but Hashem yirah l'alevav. What was wrong with them? So the Rashi brings down over here, it's a medrash, because Eliyahu had the midah of kas. He had the midah of kas. Shmuel HaNavi was not able to see that. Aber HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to see through and through. And later on, in the next kapitel, the Taka says, when there was the big confrontation between the Pelishtim and the Bnei Yisrael, and David HaMelech was sent by Yishai to go bring his brothers food by the battlefield, and also to bring back a get for their wives, as was the minig in those days, for people that went out to war. It says over there that David HaMelech was inquiring. He heard that Shaul made an announcement that whoever's able to beat Goliath in a war, he will marry the king's daughter, he'll be freed from taxes, the king will make him rich. So David HaMelech expressed an interest in that. And he started asking around the people, he asked them if they know more about this offer. Eliyahu saw his little brother asking around about this. He said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Did you leave our father alone and you left the sheep back home just to come and witness what was going on the battlefield? He got angry at him. It was Hashem, because actually Yishai had sent him to the battlefield. So because he displayed the midah of kas, he lost the Malchus. Now, even though that came later on, after the Shmaisa over here, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already able to see that deep down inside he had that need of Kaas, and Memela, he had discarded him from being the king. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't look at the beauty, and don't look at the tallness of Eliyahu, I have already discarded him. According to the Malvim, it's just the opposite. We learn Pshat. The Malvim learns Pshat. Ach neged Hashem b'shichay. Please keep Shaul as the king. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't look at the beauty of Shaul and don't look at his height. I've already discarded him from being the king. Hashem Yirul Alevav, I look at what's in the heart. The Radak also speaks out over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Shmuel there's a big difference between the picking of the king L'chatchila and the picking of the king right now. L'chatchila, Hashem says, I didn't really want a king. It was being picked to the liking of the Bnei Yisrael. So then it was important to get someone that's going to satisfy the wants of the Bnei Yisrael. Someone that's good looking, somebody that they could be proud of, somebody that they would look up to. But that proof is finished already. The time has come for me to pick a king according to my liking. And my liking does not depend on good looks. It doesn't depend on how handsome a person is. My liking is totally in what the person is in the heart. And Mimele, don't look at the beauty and the good looks of Shaul. Rashi brings down over here a Chazal that this pasuk was a rebuke to Shmuel. Why was it a rebuke to Shmuel? Earlier, we learned that when Shaul HaMelech first came to Shmuel, he asked, where is the Roeh? Where is the Navi? Where is the seer? Shmuel HaNavi told him, Onoichi Horaya, I am the seer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Musar over here. He says, you are the seer. You use such a lashon, I am the seer. He says, I'll show you that you're not able to see everything. Over here you thought that Eliyahu is fit to be the king, and the truth of the matter is you did not see right. You could see a lot of things, but you're not able to see everything. To call yourself a Raya, you can't call yourself a Raya. Now, if you receive rebuke over here for Gaia, this is a tremendous thing to comprehend. Shmuel HaNavi, who was such an honor, he was so moisture in Ephesus for Klal Yisrael, he was so dedicated to Hashem. And one time, he expresses himself in a way, Anoichi Araya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him rebuke. What is the pshat? Well, the first thing you have to understand is that rebuke in those days was not the way we accept it today. Today we're very sensitive. We're very fragile. And if we're given Musar, right away we get on the defensive. In the olden days, Musar was giving somebody a matan. So Shmuel HaNavi, he appreciated it. I once heard that Rav Eliyahu Lapian, he was once called to Kovman to say a hesped on an Odom Godel Ad Ma'id. And he said a hesped, and he mamish the line of the drosha. The place was crying, mamish. He was ma'ir the Odom tremendously. Then the next day he came to say goodbye to the altar of Slabotka that lived there. And the altar of Slabotka would not give him his hand. That's the way you speak to a tzibur. Someone that speaks to a tzibur has to have imsa the tzibur. You're supposed to have fear of the tzibur. And you spoke with such a starkeit that, you know, that's not the hanhaga of someone that speaks to a tzibur. Generally, we would look at it, what do you mean? He gave such a gebaldik drush, Ma'ir the ilam. And here the altar is giving a musr. You know what Rabbi Lopian's reaction was? He had his head bowed. After he finished it, Yashikoyach. Thank you for the Musar. Thank you for the rebuke. By them, the people that were the Emes B'Kalibnei Hashem, and they wanted to strive for perfection, they appreciated it by Musar. So Shmuel HaNavi did appreciate it. But what's the pshat? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu nitpicking? The answer is because Shmuel HaNavi was a total shliach of Hashem. And when you get that close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the slightest imperfection is bilayt. The more expensive the diamond, the more the flaw is worried about. The greater the person is, the greater in Shemayim, Tzadikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midag V'Kimom Kichut HaSara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really doing Shmuel HaNavi a favor over here. Similarly, you find in Parshas Vayera, the Malachim came to Zdayim, and they told Lloyd, Kimashchisim Anachnu Esahir. We are destroying the city. As if we're the ones that are doing it, and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash says that they were put in Cheirun for many years. And by until Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu had the dream, Umalachi Elohim, Oilim V'yardim Boy, these were the Malachim that were far away, they were put into Chayrim, they were the ones that were being Oile, it was the first time they were able to go back to Shemayim since the Maisim is dying. Again, the same gosh, they said the word Kimash Chisim Anachnu, and for that they're put into Chayrim. Terech says, there's no one more perfect than a Malach. There's no one closer to Hashem than a Malach. He's a Shliach Hashem. Say he, a Malach, more than anybody, has to be able to give over the Inyan of perfection in Midas. But that's what happened over here. Now in this Inyan, Hashem Yira Lalevov, you can imagine that when Shmuel Hanavi saw that Eliyahu was fit for Malchus, it wasn't just skin deep. It said over about Reb Chaska Levenstein, the Panavish Mashgiach, or the Baba Sali, the famous Baba Sali, the Mekubal, when people used to go into them for a bracha, they used to cover their heads. Why? Because the Baba Sali, or Reb Chaska Levenstein, and many tzaddikim like them, were able to look at a person's face and see through and through. So if they were able to do that, one could imagine that Shmuel HaNavi, who's from the greatest of Nevi'im, Yishachu, Keneged Moshe V'Aaron, one could imagine that Shmuel HaNavi wasn't talking about Eliyahu being nice, skin deep. He was obviously talking about, he understood that Eliyahu was a very, very choshev yid, he was able to see him. Afal pi kein, there's a madrega, that even the greatest tzaddik and even the greatest roya, it's dak adak, it's the smallest of the small. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to see that deep down inside, there's this tiny little scintilla of kach. And that's why he's not roy to be a melech. Okay, but Shmuel HaNavi, he zikr was able to see. But the Teretz says it was so small that even a Navi like Shmuel was not able to see. And on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Hashem Yireh Lalevav. Now, a bad midah, no matter how small it is, it could be like a grenade where the handle is pulled and it never went off, and all of a sudden it comes into contact with someone and it could explode. Bad midas are something which lurk beneath the surface. It could be the tiniest thing. And surely if you're dealing with a melech who's in power, he wields power over others, and he has total control over Klal Yisrael, it could be the tiniest little bad midah. But a melech lives in trying circumstances, and under the wrong situation, that little midah could flare up, and it can cause tremendous damage. So especially by a melech, it was necessary that there shouldn't be even the slightest little, tiniest microscopic bit of kas. About the midah of kas itself, the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Nedarim, kol hakoyes kol mine gehenim sholtim bay. Someone that gets angry, all kinds of Gehenims rule over him. Now why should that be? In Kass, it's a terrible thing. It's a bad midah. But what's the Pshat? Kol mine Gehenim, all kinds of Gehenim, for all kinds of Adairis rule over him. Why should that be? The Musar Sfarim say, because when somebody falls into a Kass, he loses total control over himself. When a fellow loses control, when he loses his equilibrium, he's capable of committing any other Yerushaya. It doesn't mean that the Kaas itself earns him every Gehenna. But when he falls into an Inyan of Kaas, he totally loses himself. He loses all reason. And Memela, he's bound to do anything, the worst kind of Aveira, and even he doesn't want to do it, but he loses control over himself. There's a famous shot from the Stifler going by the Makir Tzvardeya. It says, Vatal HaTzvardeya. The Tzvardeya came out of the water, this big, gigantic Tzvardeya. And the Mitzrayim walked over, they hit it, and it split into two. They hit it again, four, it split, and it kept on hitting it, weiter and weiter and weiter, and it multiplied into the thousands. So the Stifler asked the question. They saw that it was multiplying, so why are you hitting it? Think for a second. Every time you hit it, it splits again. So what are you doing that for? Dr. Stifler, that's the way a person looks when he's in Kass. They got angry at it, and they hit it, and they lost themselves, and they lost total control over themselves. And even though the Sheikh will dictate, look at what you're doing. You're ruining it for yourself. Avapikin, they did it. That shot. Call me again and told them, like, you lose total control. I remember we once had a next door neighbor. I was a kid. I'll never forget this. Next door neighbor was the nicest man in the mountains, always with a smile, friendly, the most wonderful person imaginable. Once in shul, I guess he had yard sale, I'm not sure exactly what the issue was, but he was expecting to daven for the yomid, and they didn't give him the yomid. It was like a volcanic eruption. The screaming, with the anger, with the things that came out of that man's mouth. Like, I was a little kid, I don't even know if I remember it, you know. And the fellow afterwards became so embarrassed he couldn't come back to the shul. He wasn't even smiling again. He couldn't come back to shul because he was embarrassed. A few weeks later, he came back. He wasn't proud of that moment. What's the shot? A person could be nice and wonderful and great, but sometimes deep inside there's that meter, and when there's a situation to fan the flames, then it comes to the fore, and unfortunately it can cause tremendous, tremendous embarrassment. A neighbor of mine, he told me that his Zayde, Rav Lezer Levine, was the Rav of Detroit, was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim. So, he says, you think that the Chofetz Chaim was born a Malach? People think the Chofetz Chaim was born a Malach. Chofetz Chaim was not born a Malach. Chofetz Chaim worked on himself. He says, he remembers, he was a Talmud in Yeshiva, that the Chofetz Chaim was in the middle of talking to someone, and he felt that he was getting angry. He said, excuse me. He walked to the other side of the room, and he says to himself, he starts talking to himself, Yisrael Meir, Yisrael Meir, you're a Kohen, and Chazal say that Kohanim are Ragzonim. Kohanim have a tendency of getting angry. You have to calm down. Calm down, and he continued talking to himself. When he finished giving himself that talk, he went back to the conversation. The children of the Chofetz Chaim said, they never saw the Chofetz Chaim getting angry, nor was. How did you know that he was angry? If he was in the middle of talking, and then he lowered his voice. He felt himself getting angry, so he bedavka lowered his voice in order not to get angry. But it took work. It took a conscious shlita over his needs. It doesn't happen by itself. We have to be aware of that. I want to tell you over a pachadik emaisen. A pachadik emaisen with the Mida of Kaas. It's a story that happened, started in the year 1545, and the end of the story was not Nizgala until the late 1800s. Pachadik emaisen. The Seder HaDavis brings down a maisa in the year Shinhei, in the city of Salonika in Greece. One of the wealthy men of the city, his name was Baruch, he had a dentera with a regular person, and it came in front of the Mahari ben Leiv. Rav Yosef ben Leiv was the biggest poiskim at that time, from the Gdolei HaPoiskim. They came to his bezdin. It was on one of the main streets in Salonika. It was at a shopping center there. And in the shopping center was this bezdin. It came in front of the dying Rav Yosef ben Leiv. Rav Yosef ben Leiv weighed the two sides, and he paskin like the other person, not like this Rav Baruch. This Rav Baruch was not used to not getting his way, and he fell into a fit of anger, and he shot off some not nice words towards Rav Yosef, Mari ben Leiv, and he stormed out. But he wasn't finished with that. He waited for the bezdin to close, and he waited outside to physically assault the Mari ben Leiv. And sure enough, as he's coming out, the fellow winds up and gives a punch across the face of Mari ben Leiv. The people there that were standing around, they were intimidated by this fellow. Apparently he was a loud mouth in the city. They were intimidated, and nobody came to the defense of the dying. He said, Shuma Shamayim, how could it be that they let such a chilul Hashem? He wasn't worried. He was worried about the Kavod HaTayim. And he walked off. The dying walked off. That night, there was a strafe in the city. 5,000 houses were burnt down. Hundreds of people were killed. They ran out into the fields. It lasted for a couple of days. it caused tremendous, the fire started mamish in that mukam. Exactly where the maisa happened, where the fire started, and it mamish, it burnt down a whole area. Thousands of houses, hundreds of people never were nifter because of that chilul shem shamayim. Whatever happened to this person, Baruch, that the Seder HaDeiris does not write. And that was found out, it goes, this letter was written in the year 1881. That's 340 years later, they found out what happened to this Baruch. There was a tremendous tzaddik by the name of Rav Mordechai Ashminer. He was a goyin olam, and he was a tremendous Balmoivus, the Chofetz Chaim, used to send people to him for yeshuas. So he writes a letter to his chavrusa and the mentor, Rav Pinchas Michal of Antipolia. He writes a letter to him, and he tells him the following. This past Yom Kippur by night, after davening, I sat down to learn my regular Masechtas Yuma. Usually through the night, I learned the Masechta. And all of a sudden, while I was learning, I felt myself fall into a deep sleep. I fell, put my head down on the table, I was asleep. And I saw a person with a tremendous hadras upon him. His face was shining. I look at him, I got scared. And he tells me, do tshuva before it's too late. Do tshuva before it's too late. I woke up from pachad. Do tshuva for what? Who is this person? Why is he telling me to do tshuva? Favos, favem. I have no idea. So I really couldn't concentrate on my learning, and I went to sleep in bed. And as I fell asleep, this person comes back to me again in a dream with two people. They came with him. He says, listen here, I'm telling you this is not a false dream. Vaharai, I brought two people with me as testimony. This is an emesdika dream. Do tshuva before it's too late. What tshuva? When tshuva? I started screaming at him, and I woke up. I couldn't go to sleep that night anymore. Couldn't go to sleep. I went straight to the Beis Medrash. And that whole Yom Kippur, I was crying from pachad. Who was this person? Why do I have to do tshuva? For what purpose? Came Shmini Atzeres, and I, once again, I went to sleep, and this fellow comes to me in a dream, and he tells me again, your crying on Yom Kippur helped somewhat. That means in a Shemayim, they're going to have Rachmanis on you, but you still have to do tshuva. And again, he started screaming, but Machmas is screaming, he woke up again. Simchas Torah night again, he has this dream. The man comes to him in a dream, and now he was calmed down. He was already used to this person. He says, please, b'schus de tanoim and b'schus de amayram, whose Torah I teach to others. B'schus de rishayim and the achrayim and the chidushay Torah that I learn with others. Please tell me, what did I do wrong? What do I have to do tshuva for? So this man whose face was shining, he tells him, I am the Maharin Leiv. My name is Rav Yosef Ben Leiv. And I was a dayan in Salonika about 340 years ago. And your ancestor, his name was Baruch, he slapped me across the face, Barabim, and he was a goyim of terrible churbin coming to the city. And from the time he did that, his neshama has not found menucha. He's wandering around, and it's stepped on, and he's being pained by Ruchesh Royce. And you are a descendant of his. And because you're an Adam Gadol in Torah, you have a way of being Mesak in his Aveira, and you could save him from Tzara. So how could I save him from Tzara? I don't know the first thing about these things. What am I supposed to do? He says, your ancestor was Mevazimi, and the way you could be Mesak in the Aveira through his Kaas is by learning over my Chidushim, the Shailos, the Shuvas, Mahari Ben Leiv. You'll learn it over, and with that, you'll be able to be Mesak in his Aveira. I'm busy with the tzarchim of the city. I have a yeshiva. I don't have time. So he made up a schedule with him in his dream. If you learn this and this amount every single day, over a period of a few years, you'll be able to finish. So finally, where am I going to get the sefer? The sefer was not benimta. So he says, you had a friend and a chavrusa, Rav Pinchas Michal of Antipolia. He has such a sefer. Get in contact with him. And then he woke up. And Mamela, you know how things are, no matter how striking a dream is, he kept on pushing it off. And finally, he came back to him in a dream again. He says, this is the last time I'm coming to warn you. He says, this is the last chance that you have. And he delayed again because he was taken up with the truckim of the city, and unfortunately his wife fell ill. And that's when he finally wrote the letter to the prince of the Mechal of Antipolia. He should send him this, he'll pay him for the sefer. And sure enough, he learned through it, and apparently it was Misakim, the Avera of his ancestor. But at Heichen Hazman Magim, I saw this brought down in the sefer. The name of the sefer is Hoser Kas Melibcha. And it brings it down to show how a person that falls into a rage could cause such hefsid, not only to an entire city, but for himself, for generations and generations, that for 350 years, until his descendant was able to be misakin as Aveira, until then, he mamish had to wander, and he went through terrible, terrible tzar. On this inyan of the Hashem Yiro Lalevov, Hashem looks at the heart. There's a Mayudiki Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Kufav on the base. Omar Ravid, listen to this, Rava from the greatest of Amoraim should make such a statement. Omar Rava, Rava said, Revusilim Ivoi Ivoi? Is it such a great thing to ask shailas and learning and to be Maravit and Torah? Is that the most important thing? He says, in the years of Rav Yehuda lived a couple of generations before them. In the years of Rav Yehuda, there were not as great Talmidei Chachamim as in the times of Abaye and Rava. In the years of Rav Yehuda, they spent their time predominantly learning Seder and Ezekiel. Chazal and the Farsim say either because the Gemara says, Haroitzelim Ahavi Chasida, if somebody wants to be a Chassid, he should be Isaac and Nizakin. Others say because Chayshim Mishpud was very much Negeah then, so they were mainly Isaac and Ezekiel. By us, we're Isaac and all Shishas and Rei Mishnah in the most complicated things. And when they came to some of the shiles we come across, they couldn't be poisoned. And by us, we go into the most complicated, difficult shiles. And yet, when Rabbi Yehuda would start davening in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he would remove his shoes in kindness to Hashem because they didn't have rain, the minute he removed one shoe, it would start gushing rain. And by us, we scream and we scream and we scream for rain and we don't get answered. Why is that, he says? Rachamono liba boy. Hashem yiro lalevot. Intellectual pursuit is not good enough. Besides the intellectual pursuit, he could have two people, and one is a tremendous lamdan, but he's not attached to Hashem with his heart. The person that's less of a lamdan is greater. Rav is the one that's saying this. Rav is the greatest of Amoraim, v'Hashem yiro lalevot. On this pasuk he says it. Intellectual pursuit is a merit that you think. Now, I have to tell you that a Jew at heart by itself is nothing either. You know, you can be a Jew at heart, but you have to have Maisim and you have to have Liman HaTorah, because without Liman HaTorah, you can't be a Jew at heart. But Rabbi was saying, if somebody concentrates only on the learning and it doesn't penetrate his heart, then he's not anywhere near on the Madrega of the one that his heart is attached to with his Baruch. When I first moved to Muncie, this goes back about 26 years ago, my kids were still little. So I was in the old Pathmark, where Evergreen is right now. In the old Pathmark, I'm waiting in line, my little kids. And there's an old man there, he's obviously not from Nebuch. And he looks at the little kids and he says, you have to instill in these children Jewish pride. You have to have a Jewish heart. So I remember when I was a kid, I saw Hank Greenberg hit a home run. That was Jewish pride. Hashem Yiro Lalevov, the Levov that we're talking about for Shteita, it can only come through Liman HaTorah, and it can only come through Maisim Tovim. But what Rav is telling us is that the Chitzoni is the Kalimud, and the Chitzoni is the Kemaisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu values what's in the heart. Hashem Yira Lalevav. Hashem looks at what's in our hearts. Agutavach, everybody. Well, next week there's not going to be a share. Next week I have to be out of town. Agutavach. Aleichem Shalom, how are you?
Hold it, Aleichem.
Good to see you. How's your young
kid? Love you.
Yeah.
Love you.
Love you.
3 days, y'all. 3 days.
Yeah. 3 days. After work.
That's what I was saying.